So the title of the topic this morning is Vulnerability with My Spouse. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of vulnerability. What do you think about? Anyone?
Being exposed.
Nothing to hide. You know, I believe vulnerability is the key to a better relationship. Vulnerability is also risky. But I believe it's a risk we must take if we want to experience close connection. Embracing vulnerability allows couples to peel back the layers of emotional armor and authentically sharing the innermost thoughts and feelings and fears. We don't have fears, do we? I think we can all identify with fears. In the Bible, we read in Genesis 2, verse 25, right after God had created man and woman, he saw man needed someone. And then he tells the man, he says, leave father and mother and cleave to your wife. And Adam saw the woman that God had created and designed for him. And Adam said, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. And then he says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. And I don't believe he's talking about just the physical. I believe he's talking about an open and a naked heart, that we can see each other for exactly who we are, and no shame. Now we live in a world that is full of shame. Shame is everywhere. Why? Because of sin. Exactly. Because of sin. Genesis 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve. And I want you to notice this little word, knew. He knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, I'm not going to pull this verse apart, but we're going to probably touch more of these things later today. But I want us to think about this word, knew. Adam knew his wife. In 1 Peter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, knowing, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Beautiful verse. Vulnerability. Being vulnerable together. Vulnerability, emotional vulnerability is about letting yourself be seen, known for who you truly are, instead of how you might prefer to be perceived. It means being open and honest about your feelings, thoughts, and needs, and vulnerable to the emotions and reactions of others. So, as I was studying for this topic, my mind went back to our dating life. The other night, my wife and I were laying in bed, and we started reminiscing our dating life. And I think what brought me back to that was I was thinking, I remember, and I'm going to say this because of we have quite a few young married couples here. And I hope somebody has told you, if you think marriage is good now, you wait until you've been married for 25 years or 35. When it's done God's way, it only gets better. I tell people, marriage is a lot like Swiss cheese. If you're a Swiss cheese lover, the longer you let it sit and age, the better it gets. It's kind of how marriage is. So you young married couples, you have a lot to look forward to. If you stay connected and do what Japheth showed to us last night, you have a lot to look forward to. And yeah, our young married time was great. But you know, I had to think back of those times when I remember those times. I wonder how she's feeling. Can you identify with me on that? I wonder what she's really feeling. And I think that's part of the beauty. When you spend time together, you start thinking the same things. And almost before it comes out of your mouth, she's thinking it or he's thinking it. It's beautiful. I love it, couples. I see couples looking at each other. Yeah, yeah. I know some of you have experienced the same thing. Probably a lot of you. I got to keep going or I'll not even get through anything that I prepared here. There's benefits to being vulnerable. It fosters intimacy. It brings us closer together. It enhances communication. And that's one thing that we have, would you believe it? When I first got married to my wife, I was this shy boy. Would you believe that? I can hardly keep my mouth shut now. But she has developed a communication in me, and that's not my topic. I'm going to let that to Japheth. She has taught me how to communicate. And we love to sit down and just talk. There was a time in our life that I had to be intentional about that. Really intentional. But we put some parameters in place to make it happen. And I'll just share, one of the things that I think has helped us a lot is we would have a certain time that our children would go to bed when they were younger. That's your bedtime. And they just knew it. And we taught them, when you go to bed, you stay in bed and you be quiet. And it always gave us some space, because we put them to bed before we would go to bed, and it gave us some time to sit on the porch, just spend time together, and just talk about our day. Another thing that helped us a lot is I worked away from home all of my life, in some way, shape, or form. We raised our family on a farm, but I did work away. And I would come home, and I try to always come home just a little before supper. I don't always get it done, but that's a good time. Just go in the kitchen and just start communicating a bit. It helped us a lot. It builds trust. And it encourages growth. It builds trust. Trust is so important in a marriage relationship. And if you're hiding something, trust me. Trust me, your partner knows you're hiding something. They may not know what it is. But there's, because of the way God designed marriage, and because of the interwoven design of marriage, it's very, very difficult to hide things. But people try it all the time. And I can tell you story upon story of couples that have shared with us. And every one of them comes back. Every one of them comes back. I knew there was something, but I didn't know what it was. Cultivating vulnerability in marriage. Be present. Just be there. Be present. When your wife is talking to you, look at her. Recognize her. Touch her. There's lots of different ways just to let her know, I'm here, I'm listening. And I've had those experiences where my wife said, you're not even listening. I know, I'm sorry. Sometimes I have to catch myself, but... And that's okay, ladies, if you say that to your husband. Wake him up every once in a while. Hey, you're not listening to me, I'm not even going to talk. Practice open communication, acknowledge fears. And this is sometimes a challenge, but acknowledge what you're fearful about and start small. And I think Japheth said something about being curious about your spouse. If you sense your spouse is opening up a bit, and you know, us husbands struggle with this a lot more than ladies do. Generally, it takes a lot of prodding. And my wife was very patient with me, and she kept prodding and asking questions. And then it would just come out. I wasn't trying to hide anything. It just takes a little bit more time. Remember that. There is power in vulnerability, openness to emotional risk. Vulnerability requires a willingness to face uncertainty and emotional risk, paving the way for authentic connections. Embracing vulnerability can fuel personal development and creative thinking, helping individuals grow and adapt. You know, we are better together. As we think together, we can come up with creative ideas in what is best for our children, what is best for our situation. God created the woman, and he gave you the gift of the woman for what? To help me. That's right. To help us. Allowing vulnerability fosters deeper trust and empathy in relationships, both in personal and professional settings. I believe safety in marriage is so, so important. And it's about so much more than physical safety. It's about safety in emotional, physical, and spiritual. We promised, all of us promised, a similar, I take you to be my partner in life and my one true love. I will cherish our friendship and I will love you today. I will love you tomorrow and I will love you forever. I will trust you and I will honor you. I will laugh with you and I will cry with you. I will love you faithfully through the best and the worst. I will love you through the difficult and the easy. What may come, I will always be there. As I have given you my hand to hold, so do I give you my life to keep. An emotional, safe relationship. These are some good questions to ask. And I've got this on your handout. So I'm not going to spend any time on this. You can look through this. Imagine with me being able to share your deepest thoughts, vulnerabilities, and dreams, knowing you'll be met with understanding, support. That's the power of emotional safety. When I can lay my heart out to my wife, nothing to hide, I don't have to feel judged, condemned. Emotionally safe relationship is understanding. There is no judgment. Active listening. And I like to just throw this in. No, I'm going to go through this and then I'm coming back to this. Trust, openness, honesty, and vulnerability. Eye contact, optimism, and positivity. Connection, a gentle touch, no criticism, compassion, and love, support. Going back to active listening, if you have a good communication system going on in your marriage, that's excellent. But you know, sometimes we face some difficult things in life, and sometimes things get a little bit... We go back to, I'm wondering how she's feeling. Those things happen, even once we've been married for 25 years. Depends what comes up. And if there's a strain in communication, let me give you some direction that can help clarify some of these things. When you're communicating, I believe active listening, what I want to bring out with active listening is you repeat back, honey, I heard you say this. Is that what you meant? And right away, it gives up. No, that's not what I meant. That's not what I was saying. And it helps and begin to understand what you're actually saying. Because it is possible we can communicate and the other person doesn't even get what we're saying. Is that right? Because God made us so different. And that's beautiful how you did that. It's absolutely beautiful. Don't ever let Satan tempt you with the idea, if my wife would be just like me, we would have free sailing. I tell you, we'd have a pretty boring marriage. But we don't. We have a lot of fun. God, it just amazes me. God is so good what He put together. It's so genius. But I know we live in a fallen world and there's people. We have friends. We have friends, good friends, that aren't even living together now. It just pulls our hearts apart. It's like, how can this be? It's so sad. Heart to heart, sharing the depth of your feelings that are in your heart, taking emotional risk and courage. This makes you feel exposed and vulnerable, but it is the very thing that will create closeness and connection in your marriage. By sharing what is in your heart with your spouse, you can achieve deeper intimacy. When you don't feel safe in a relationship, your focus shifts from connection to protection. And when you get into that protection mode, you lose your connection. Because you're trying to protect yourself now. When you don't feel safe in a relationship, your focus shifts from connection to protection. And I would just beg with you, couples here, make sure that your connection is safe. Your marriage is safe. Don't be going outside making jokes about your wife. I just about can't stand when people say, you know, that's just women. You'll never understand them. I'm like, there's maybe a bit of truth in that, but that's such a poor, lazy excuse. It's such a lazy excuse. Don't go there. If you don't understand them, go find out what they are. They love to tell you. They love to tell you what they are. They love to give you all those details. Just go ask. Most women. But you know, sometimes things can happen that it closes them up as well. I had a friend, a man called me one day and he said, Marion, he said, I'm not sure what to do. I need help. I haven't done anything wrong. I have tried my hardest to please my wife. But she has quit talking to me. She was protecting herself. He said, I don't know what to do. I said, yeah, you've got a problem. If you can't talk, you can't fix anything. He said, what do I do? I said, why don't you go back to her and apologize for what you did? And he said, I don't know what to apologize for because I didn't do anything. I said, I understand. That's how you feel. But I said, somewhere along the line, you have done something that closed her up, closed up her heart. Yeah, but I don't know what that is. I said, it doesn't matter what it is. Just go back and apologize to her for what you did to her. He said, okay, I called you for advice. It doesn't make sense, but I'm going to do what you said. I said, call me back. Let me know what happened. He called me back 2 days later and he said, Marion, she's talking. I said, now you can go places. I said, I understand you didn't intentionally do something, but you've done something wrong. Now talk it out. Figure this out. You have to talk before you can do anything. Protection mode is a difficult mode to be in. Protecting ourselves. I'd like to talk just a bit about the wounded heart, the fearful heart, the exhausted heart. The wounded heart. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Moving from a wounded heart to a healthy heart, I believe, is a three-step process. First, you must identify the wound and the false messages. And sometimes these wounds stem clear back to our growing up years. False messages, our enemy loves to give us false messages about ourselves. He loves to get us in that mode where we're thinking false things, things that aren't true. Like, you're not worth anything. Well, let me ask you a question. Did God make anybody that's not worth anything? Did he? No. So where does that lie come from? But there's lots of people that deal with that. I'm a failure. Did God ever make failures? No. So where does that message come from? You know that. But sometimes we just need to sit back and listen to what God says and think about our relationship with God. We get so caught up with this wounded heart and we're trying to protect it so nobody hurts it again. And often that's our spouse. And we lose the blessing that God has designed for marriage. Sorry. We must replace that message with truth. And we must nurture and care for that heart. If your spouse has a wounded heart, you must be gentle. You must nurture. You must give good messages. I need you. You are worth a lot to me. You are this and you are. Give good messages, godly messages, messages that come from the Spirit of God instead of our enemy. And then there's the fearful heart. Genesis 3:10, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Why was he afraid? Because of sin, right? Sin in a marriage relationship will do the same thing. We just close up and we're scared. She will never understand. He will never understand. Whatever the message is. But let me ask you a question. Does Jesus understand? A godly spouse will understand too. Sure, there's some hurts. But you know, Satan wants us to dwell on, you got to cover this up. And he just wants us to live in shame. And it cripples our life. It cripples our relationship. Focus on creating a safe environment, emotional safety. And I would beg with you couples, and it happens to the best of us, we make mistakes. Don't be critical when your partner comes back and I'm sorry, I messed up. Don't be critical. I'd have never done anything like that. Don't say words like that. Say, I forgive you. How can I help you? How can I help you overcome this? What can I do for you? I mean, that speaks volumes. And it draws you together. You know, it defeats the enemy. The enemy wants to separate you. But just communicating this way, it brings you together. And God restores it. Make sure that there is complete security. Make sure they feel loved. Make sure they feel cared about more than anything else. And they feel valued. Even though they messed up, they still feel valued. I don't know what I would do without you. How can I help you? Do not judge them. A fearful heart is a haven, needs a haven, and it needs to be a trustworthy person to whom you can turn to, which should be your spouse, knowing that person will be emotionally available and will respond to you in a caring manner. But so many times the fearful heart wants to turn to these roly-poly sow bugs. They're silver gray-looking bugs that roll up into a ball when they are touched. Let's not be that way. You will never build a good relationship if this is the way you're going to treat life. Let's move on to the exhausted heart. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, that verse speaks to me. And I think us Mennonites are pretty guilty of this verse. We know what to say and the right words to say, the right things to do. But I know in my life, I can so easily get distracted. And when I'm distracted, when I'm busy, see, the devil wants to distract us. He wants us to be busy doing things that really don't matter. That's why I believe, like Japheth shared last night, unless we are intentional, we're going to fall right down into that trap. Unless we're intentional. Overcommitment and exhaustion are the most insidious and pervasive marriage killers you will ever encounter as a couple. This past weekend, my wife and I had the opportunity to care for our three grandchildren for 4 days. And I told people I used muscles that I didn't know I needed to care for these children. And we had a lot of fun, but we were exhausted. My wife said on Tuesday, or Monday afternoon when they left, I just needed a break. I just needed a break. And she went to the sewing machine. And I'm like, okay. I said, you know what? I go to my truck. That's why I have my break. She's like, oh, really? But you know what I'm talking about. We all have things that we can do just to kind of get away. And process. And I'm sure her mind was processing as she was sewing. That's what I do on the truck. After a weekend like this, I've told Austin, I said, always give me something to do after a weekend like this. The next day. It's a good time for me just to sit and just process. And some of you probably wonder, how can you drive a big dump truck? And you've got a lot of responsibility there. I do, I know. But once you do it every day, it's just like the back of your hand almost. Exhausted heart. Sometimes we need to stop and ask, what is going on? We are moving at an ever-increasing speed toward who knows what. Who knows where, and at a cost of who knows what? Well, actually, we do know some of the cost, and I believe it is the marriage relationship. Our relationship, as life gets faster, busier, more frenzied, and more hectic, our marriages often suffer. We just don't have enough time for each other. And if we somehow crave out some time, we don't have any energy left over. We have to be intentional. There you have it again. I'm sorry to bring this out so often. But you know what? I've discovered, unless my wife and I are intentional about something, it doesn't happen. Do you know what I'm talking about? We can just so easy slide along with life. And the next thing we look back, oh. This summer, my wife and I had a wonderful time. We went on a cruise for the first time to Alaska. It was lovely. I took my brother and his wife along. It was for my 60th birthday celebration. I turned 60 in January, but January, you don't want to even get close to Alaska. I'm sorry, we have an Alaska girl here somewhere, a young lady. But they tell me it's dark and cold. But we went in July. It was beautiful. Oh, it was so refreshing. I left my computer at home. The only thing I took along was my Bible. It was a wonderful time. Sometimes we just need things like that. And you don't have to go on a cruise. I know. That was a dream we had for years already. Just simple little things. Just get away a little bit. Recharging the exhausted heart. Be still and know that I am God. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's pretty simple. Three steps. But yet, it's difficult to live it out. I understand that. Three steps. Be still and hear God. You know, in the hustle and bustle of life, we don't hear God at times. I think sometimes we need to just sit back, relax, and listen to what God has to say. And then wait. Wait. And then come. Come to Jesus. All humans have a God-designed need for meaningful connection and intimacy. That's why you men pursued your wife. Girlfriend, right? God had brought you to the point where you understood, I need someone to connect to in a closer connection. I told my wife, I said, as we were reminiscing our dating, I said, what were you thinking? I mean, I pulled you out of a nice home environment, you were protected. Why did you do this? She said, because you won my heart. I told my son-in-laws. I had a meeting with my son-in-laws before they ever dated my daughters. They were both scared, but they both came out of the meeting smiling and that they loved it. I think for the most part. But this is what I told them. I said, listen. I said, I have my daughter's heart. My daughters have told me, there is nobody dating me unless you give my consent. Unless Dad gives the consent. I said, I have their hearts. But I said, it's your job to steal it away from me. And they did. Bless their hearts, they did. And I just want to let it go. I think it's my responsibility to let it go. And let them flourish. I gotta stop.